Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
Could I be baptized multiple times? Could I be baptized as many times as I want? As I thought about this in my own life and as a gospel preacher, and as you look at the Scriptures, the real question is, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible say more than one baptism is valid? And friend, the answer is no. Rebaptism is a misnomer. It is unscriptural, and you don't find that in the Bible. Now, let me show you from the Word of God. Would you open your Bible this morning to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'd like you to look in verses 4 through 6 with me. Ephesians chapter 4, the terminology that we use, rebaptism, is just not according to the Bible. Look in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 4. That's Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. Paul says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, don't miss this, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so, how many valid baptisms are there in the Bible? Just one. One in numeral, one in purpose, one in mode, in every way. There's just one baptism. Now, having said that, I've been in the baptistry twice, got wet once, and was baptized once. Let me explain. When I was about 11 years old, I was in a small rural congregation where if you were going to wait on the Lord's Supper, if you're going to say prayer, if you're going to lead singing, whatever it may be, you had to be baptized. And so, as a young person, I wanted to do that. And so I got baptized. Later, I thought back on that and I asked myself, was that really the right motive? Did I do it with the right purpose? Did I really understand what I was doing, and was I baptized for the remission of my sins to become a member of the Lord's church? And as I looked at that, I got wet once when I was about 11, and I was baptized into Christ when I was about 18. Now, having said all that, this morning we want to think about some legitimate reasons to be baptized, maybe again, but not to be rebaptized, to be baptized correctly. And then some things that may want to make us think, was I baptized for the remission of my sins for the right reason? Now, the idea of rebaptism, again, you just don't find multiple baptisms into Christ in the New Testament. Let me give you an example that people often use to say that you can. But I think you'll see from this text, even that's not true. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 19. I want you to look in Acts chapter 19, the passage that was read for us this morning. Many times people will say rebaptism is scriptural based on Acts 19. But I think you'll see here that such is not the case. Acts chapter 19, I'd like you to look with me in verses 1 through 5. Acts 19, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. We don't even know what you're talking about. Holy Spirit, what's that? Verse 3. And Paul said to them, into what were you baptized? Now this is real important. Don't miss this. They said, into John's baptism. So Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Now, watch what happens here. Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. What I ask you from this text is, how many times were these people baptized into Christ? Only once. They were baptized into John's baptism, which was a unique scenario, only happened once in the history of the world. And then when they learned about Christ, learned about His covenant, they were only baptized into Christ one time. And so there's only one baptism. You know, I understand as well as you do that baptism, I hope, is for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. And so someone says, if baptism is for the remission of sins, every time you sin, don't you want to be baptized? Well, friend, if that were the case, I'd look like a prune, wouldn't you? I'd live in the baptistry. I'd stay in the water. Because if the magic's in the water, if this is some magic potion or magic talisman that every time I sin, I get in the water, I'd never get out. I'd want to make sure I was right. I'd look like a prune all the time. Why? If I really believed that, I'd stay in the water till the Lord come. Because I'd want to make sure. Now, I understand the essentiality of baptism. I know I've got to do it initially to be saved. But is rebaptism scriptural? No, you don't find that terminology in the Bible. But let me offer you some things this morning, maybe to think about, concerning your baptism. Maybe some of the motives that we have sometimes would make us pause and ask ourselves, was I baptized correctly? Did I really do it for the right reasons? For example, sometimes, and I've seen it on numerous occasions, a husband or wife will be baptized to make a spouse or even sometimes a future spouse happy. I know of an individual in Oklahoma. A friend of mine was dating a girl who was not a member of the Lord's church. One of the requirements pretty much by his family and even by him was, if we're going to get married, you're going to have to be baptized, become a member of the Lord's church. Now, can a spouse or a future spouse help lead someone to the Lord? Absolutely. But if you really love someone and that person said to you, to marry me, you've got to be baptized, you might do that with the wrong motive, with the wrong intent. Listen carefully. Baptism has to be done for yourself. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14:12. Nobody can do it for me. Nobody can make me do it. If they do, then it's not been that free will offering. It's not been that free will sacrifice. And so I ask you to think this morning, number one, did someone do it for you? Were you forced? Were you persuaded? Were you maybe coerced into doing that? If so, you might want to consider whether you really did that for yourself. Secondly, sometimes children are baptized to make mom and dad happy. And friend, don't misunderstand me. I understand, both from the parental side and from the side of a child, how that, you know, parents want to lead their children and how children want to do things that they know will make mom and dad happy. But again, there's a fine line that you've got to walk there. Let me give you an illustration that I think will help. A family in Oklahoma, I remember a young man, he's probably my age now, telling me of a story when he was baptized. He was telling me how that he felt like his father had too much coercion in him being baptized. For example, he said, we lived out in the sticks of Oklahoma. He said, we'd never been on a vacation. The closest we ever got to one was going to Walmart. And so his father said, we're going to go on a family vacation. This young man was about 14 or 15 years old. And so he said to that young man, his father said to him, you can't go on vacation. I'm afraid to take you until you're baptized. Now, I want you to think about that. Here you are. You've never been on vacation. Something you'd really like to do. And dad says, there's only one stipulation to do it. You've got to be baptized. What would you do if you were a kid? I reckon I'd be baptized to go on vacation, wouldn't you? Maybe if that's the way I felt. Maybe if that's the way I thought. Here, you've got to be careful. There's a fine line to walk. You want to encourage. You want to train. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. You want to make mom and dad happy. You want to honor your parents. Deuteronomy 6, Ephesians 6 again. And yet, at the same time, you want someone to make that decision for themselves. And so you've got to be careful who you're doing it for. If you're baptized to make mom and dad happy, if that's your main motive and your first purpose, then friend, you maybe need to think about that a little bit. You may need to reconsider, were my motives really what they needed to be? Was I baptized correctly with those motives? Thirdly, sometimes, and especially when you see various evangelistic, maybe benevolent works, sometimes people feel motivated out of money or even what they can get out of it to be baptized. For example, let's say that on Thursday from 9 to 11, we said anybody who's baptized will get a free box of food. How well would that go across? Well, friend, I'd stay busy. I'd stay pretty wet between 9 and 11 on Thursday mornings, most likely. Why? Because if that were the only stipulation, then people might be coerced by what they could get out of it physically to do that. Was your motive really just to please God, or was there something to get out of it? Was there something physically, monetarily to be gained? Maybe you make new business acquaintances. Maybe you make new apartment. All kind of things have to come into consideration when we talk about our motives in being baptized. Maybe, and this is common among young people, maybe you did it because your friends did it. Listen carefully to what I'm saying again. Friends can be a great influence. I want my children to have godly friends. I want them to follow a good example. If you've ever worked with Christian camp or been to Christian camps, I think it's a great thing. But there is one thing I would caution you against. I've seen it happen on multiple occasions. An older brother or sister really does know what they're doing, and they're baptized, and a sibling who may not then is baptized as well. Or you've got one friend maybe who is ready to obey the gospel, who really knows what they're doing, and three or four get in line behind them. Why were you baptized? Were you baptized because your friends did it? Were you baptized because somebody else did it and you thought, well, I need to do it too? Again, I'm not downing following a good example. The Bible teaches us to do that, but one of the reasons in which I felt like I needed to be baptized correctly was my motives weren't right. Small congregation, you want to lead prayer, you wanted to say a prayer, you want to wait on the Lord's table, you want to do those things. The only stipulation was to be like everybody else. You had to be baptized. And so at a young age, I thought to myself, you know, I want to do those things. And so what my thought was, I'll be baptized. Friend, I just don't think that was the right motive. Again, is it an individual decision? Absolutely. But as I thought about my own choices, my own decision as to why I did it, I came to the conclusion I didn't do it to get to heaven. I didn't do it necessarily. Did I understand the five steps? Sure. But were my motives what they really needed to be? No, I don't think so. It wasn't the motive to ultimately, first and foremost, please God and follow His will. Now, are there then some legitimate reasons to be baptized correctly? Sure. If a person was too young, I know numerous accounts of people that I've sat with who said, you know, I was so young that I don't even hardly remember it. I was so young, I'm not even sure I really grasped what it meant to fully be a Christian. I don't know I was mature enough to really understand how to obey the gospel and what that cost was going to be to my life. Am I saying every young person? No, that's not what I'm saying. I think a young person can understand that. But you need to ask yourself on an individual basis, not about everybody else, what about me? Was I too young? Did I really fully understand what I was doing? Did I really grasp the concept of being a New Testament Christian? Secondly, maybe you didn't really repent. You know, a person hasn't been baptized correctly if he didn't repent. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Acts 3 and verse 19, you've got to repent and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. Maybe I knew everything else, but I didn't repent. Friend, if you didn't repent, you weren't baptized correctly. You weren't baptized at all. You simply got wet. You've got to be willing to change your ways. Maybe there were habits that you knew you weren't going to give up, that you knew were wrong. Maybe there were languages that you used that weren't right, that you had no intention of giving up. Maybe there were things you did that you know weren't right with God and you never really understood or you decided not to give those up. Then, friend, you weren't baptized correctly. If you're not willing to repent, then you can't be baptized correctly, for Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized, Mark 16:16. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Again, maybe you did it to please the wrong person. Maybe you did it to make friends happy. Maybe you did it to make a husband or a spouse or a future spouse happy. Maybe you did it to make mom and dad. Maybe you did it to impress someone whom you looked up to. If that was the reason in being baptized, friend, that's the wrong motive. I understand that could be a secondary purpose, and I know that, but if that's my main purpose, if that's the main reason I did that, I'm here to please God. I'm here to obey Him. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. Baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Maybe your baptism was the wrong time. And here's what I mean by that. Were you sprinkled as a child? Friend, listen carefully. We discussed several weeks ago that baptism is immersion. Romans 6, 1 through 4, it is like a burial. John 3, verse 23, it is where there has to be much water. Acts 8, verses 36 through 39, in the action, both got out of the chariot, both went down into water. He baptized him, and they came up out of the water. And of course, my opinion was the clearest of all. Mark 1, verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, of Jesus, having come up out of the water, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Friend, we say this as kindly and yet as pointedly as we know how. If you were baptized by sprinkling or by pouring, then friend, that wasn't correct baptism. The Bible does not mention those modes as being valid baptism. They're not the one baptism. The one baptism is in much water. It is a burial into Christ. And so maybe it was the wrong mode. Maybe the purpose was wrong. What's the purpose of baptism? Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Baptism is to be saved. Baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism is to get into the church where all the saved are. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Now, I ask you just simply this morning to think about your own baptism. I'm not trying to get you to do anything this morning except to think. When I was a young person, I made decisions that weren't for the right choices or right motives. Multiple people that I've talked to, and I've seen it happen on various occasions, have said to me, I did it for this reason. Do you think I need to be baptized again? And I always say, there's only one baptism, but if a person has any doubt, here's what it all comes down to this morning. If you say to yourself, I don't know. Maybe I didn't do it for the right motives. Maybe I'm unsure. Here's what it all comes down to today. If you did it correctly the first time and you've got doubts, a little water never hurt anybody. If, however, you did not do it with the right motive and the right intent the first time, then friend, you desperately need to do it correctly, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, what about the idea that when I sin, don't I have to be baptized again? Not at all. Look in your Bible in Acts chapter 8. How does a person, I understand as well as you do, that baptism is for the remission of sins, but what about after I'm baptized? I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all made decisions that are not right after the point of baptism. What do I do then? Every time I sin, do I need to call somebody up and say, hey, let's go be baptized? No. Look at Acts chapter 8. And let's see what happens after that. Acts chapter 8, I want to encourage you to take your Bible and notice a clear example of an individual who was baptized and immediately fell back into sin. Acts chapter 8, look beginning with me in verse 14. The Bible says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come to them, jump down to verse 18. When Simon saw that the laying on the apostles' hands, they received the Holy Spirit, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that on anyone whom who I lay hands may receive this power. And so Simon, he has obeyed the gospel. Acts 8, verses 9 through 13. He himself is baptized. Verse 13, Simon himself also believed. He was baptized. And so after he's baptized, he sees this great miracle. Through the laying on of the apostles' hands, real miracles could be done and could be passed on. He says, hey, give me that so that anyone on whom I lay my hands can receive this gift. Now, watch what happens in verse 20. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. And so Peter says to Simon, your money and you both are going to perish. Friends, that's a clear text showing that once a person sins after baptism, he could be saved. This is as clear as it gets. He could be lost. This is it. Now, what did Simon tell the sorcerer to do? Let's get back in the water and try this again. That's not what he said. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Peter said, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Here's a man who immediately, after baptism, fell back into sin and he and his money both were going to be lost. He didn't have to be rebaptized. Why? God's first law of pardon is that one must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you've never done that, then to get into Christ, you must initially do that. But if you've done all that with the right motive, with the right intent to please God, and then you sin, what do? You don't have to get back in the water. You repent and you pray to God. And that's how we receive forgiveness after we've become a child of God. And so again, our intent this morning is not to create doubt. Please understand, if you knew what you were doing, you did it with the right purpose of all people, I believe you can know you're saved and know beyond a shadow of a doubt. 1 John 5, verse 13. A friend, I also believe that if you've got doubt, if you do have wondering, if you've said to yourself, you know, maybe I did it because of this reason. I'm not sure I really knew. I wonder if I did it to make so-and-so happy. If those doubts exist, here's what I'd ask you to consider. Would you want to go to the judgment bar of God with any doubt? I don't. If doubt existed in my own mind, I'd make sure it was right. If you need to obey the gospel, the Lord's invitation is always open. Maybe you've never become a child of God. Friend, God's first law of pardon, again, is that you can become a Christian by hearing the Word, by believing in Jesus, by repenting of things that are not right in your life, confessing the beautiful name of Christ, and being immersed in water. Maybe as a child of God, you've slipped back. Maybe like Simon, you fell into some of your old ways. There's good news for you this morning as well. You can repent and pray to God and make that right. If you need to do so.